Welcome to the roundtable for February 6th. That was Steve Miller Band, Fly Like an Eagle. And that was actually a request from Gasoline Girl on Telegram. Sent a message to me and said, hey, could you play this? And it was already in my playlist. I was going to play it in a few weeks. I figured, I'll play tonight. I was going to play something older than that tonight, but it's all good. So I'll bring the boys on stage without further ado. Lots to talk about tonight, gents. We've got Trump burning down the entire DC establishment. We've got a federal judge blocking DOGE's access to Treasury. We have the release of the Epstein list. We have an aircraft that went down in the Philippines. We have a mishap that happened in Seattle that I want to talk about, and yet another collision on the tarmac. And there's something else. I can't remember what it is. It's probably pretty important too, but where do you guys want to start? And by the way, I don't know where Conrad and Piper are. When those two girls show up, we'll get started. But in the meantime, we'll talk shit about them and make sure that we, yeah, we'll just talk shit about them. They're not here to defend themselves. So where do you guys want to start?
Aliens.
Bruce, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Are you anywhere?
Okay, yes.
Good. So this tonight is not another edition of My Technology Doesn't Work. Tonight's a new edition of 30 Minutes of IT Cursory IT Setup. Okay, you want to start with aliens? Let's do that. What's new with aliens?
Yeah, aliens. Let's start with aliens because you know there's earthquakes, so that means the you know the dumbs are rumbling. So,
I had forgotten about the deep underground military bases.
I actually,
the stupidity in that statement aliens, is.
The profile picture I put up today is a zoomed in picture of what we've been seeing in the sky from our cockpits. So. Heck, it could be an alien right there or some kind of gravitic drive or whatever kind of.
I hope it is, man. And you know what? I'm going to wear a sign around my neck if they do show up. So that way, if I get taken, there's going to be a sign around my neck that says, stay out of my ass.
Yeah, that works for taxes, too. We could talk about that.
Well, so we haven't, you know, all kidding aside. We haven't heard anything about the IRS yet, other than Trump fired the 83,000 IRS agents that Biden supposedly hired. And there's a treasure trove of stuff with USAID. It's already come out. Like, we're funding all the news agencies to publish disinformation. We were funding the BBC. We were funding a bunch of overseas news agencies. I'm sure that was for regime change. So, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, right? They haven't even got to the good stuff. The good stuff is all the NGOs that went to another NGO, that went to another NGO, that went to an investment house, that went to a politician. That's the investigation I want to see, because that's going to be great watching those guys burn. Because you know they're going to burn somebody over this. They're not just releasing this information just to release it. They have a target in mind of who they want to go after. And if I was a betting man, I would say that Obama is squarely in the headlights of Trump for 2020 and for 2016. I don't know. Call me crazy.
Oh, no, absolutely. Well, and that, and you've talked about it before, but you know, our system is pretty notorious for we find the guy, right, and then run him over with the bus and back it up a few times, and then everybody whistles and goes home happy. And I think Obama is that guy. So hopefully they don't just stop with him. But I mean, where does USAID start? I mean, yeah, it pretty much starts at Obama.
Well, it goes all the way back into what, the 70s when they created it. I can't remember when it was created.
But I have no idea if it's been a corrupt, you know,
money
laundering apparatus the whole time. So, I mean, best
known corruption in D.C. It's just been the last 20 years that the Democratic / left / career politicians have turned it into a power source for them. But this has been going on for so long, it's not even funny how long it's been going on. It's almost stupid how long it's been going on. So
yeah,
what I'm really surprised at, to be perfectly honest, is I'm surprised that not only did Obama know, or sorry, did Trump know which funding source to go after, he did it in shock and awe style. Like, he had everybody pivoted and moving backwards for the first week he was in office. Like, they just respond to the executive orders undoing all of Biden's stuff. The executive orders around, you know, LGBTQ and two genders, and they were getting ready to respond to that. Then he goes after USAID. Oh, God, what a thing of beauty. They were all pivoting backwards, and there wasn't shit they could do about it, which was the best part of it. Because even if they wanted to, it's within his executive powers. So they can't do shit about it. It just doesn't get any better than that. That's just...
Yeah, credit where credit is due, man. I mean, he went scorched earth, and he definitely pulled off that's classic, you know, look over here, maneuver, and then cut the legs out from under you, ambush.
And the other thing that's interesting to me about, go ahead, Bruce.
I was just going to say the thing that I think was key is that finally, for the first time in I don't know how long, we saw the libs, the commies, whatever, reacting to conservatives, reacting to Trump. Like, they were just, like you said, on their heels, falling backwards, blindsided by what's going on. And, you know, the thing I was thinking when we mention the USAID stuff. It's just, at least what I'm seeing on Twitter, is just a growing call, a chorus of people saying, I'm done paying taxes. You know, it's like, literally, I feel like at this point, every American would be justified to cheat to the maximum on their taxes, take every possible deduction they could ever imagine, and lie to the IRS, because we've been lied to by the American government, by our government. I mean, it's just out of control.
I think it's more germane than that. I think Trump exposed this so people would raise the rally cry about taxes. So he has a justification to turn off the IRS.
Perfect.
He talked about that it in his, there's no coincidences. Let's just call a spade a spade.
He's using the Hegelian dialectic against them. Finally.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And what I think is interesting, and by the way, I'm going to shamelessly say this again, just for my own ego. I completely think they were listening to me when I talked about the CIA and State Department and the FBI and NSA, because they are literally cleaning the entire house. Like, who'd have thought Trump would have used Radcliffe to say to the entire building, all right, here's your deal. We'll pay you for a year and then you're out. The rest of you, you're just out if you don't take the deal. I mean, that's exactly what they needed to do.
Right.
So there's really no downside to anything he's doing right now, except the only downside I see is that they will lawfare him in some way, shape, or form, because he steps over the line one step too far. And that will give them the opportunity to stop, or at least push back. We'll see. I mean, the federal judge blocking access to Treasury tells me there's some serious skeletons there that they don't want out.
I mean, I've said this before, Steve, and you guys have probably rightly trounced on me before, but I still think that eventually there's going to come a moment where Trump's going to have to cross the Rubicon. And because that, like you're saying, they're going to eventually build a system against him, and I think that crossing the Rubicon moment's going to come eventually, but I don't know exactly when.
Again, I got to add somebody else. Why can't I? Okay, Colonel Piper, you're in here twice. Are you on your phone and your laptop, or are you just on your phone and then on your laptop? Or are you like switching? What are you doing there, Ralph? You're killing me. Oh, we're back to my stuff doesn't work. And now they're gone.
He disappeared.
This is literally like a standard round table. My shit works. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Wait, it works. No, it doesn't work. Wait, can you hear me? No. Yeah. Colonel Conrad, good to see you.
Good evening. How are you?
I am living the dream, because we are talking about all of the moves that Trump's made that has decapitated the deep state. And we started talking, I don't remember what we started talking about, UFOs, I think. And we've since migrated to, yeah, that's right, earthquakes and dumps. That's what it was. The swarms around some volcano in some place that I don't care about is erupting, which equates to a deep underground military base that's been blown up and with aliens inside. I can't remember the rest of that narrative, but
hey, the entertainment, you know what, at the least. You know what's interesting though? If you Google earthquake right now, it'll pull up the last, last couple days. And they've got like a whole list of different earthquakes that have popped up around the world, which is kind of interesting. So plates are moving around.
Yeah.
Has Trump done anything that we've seen that is seriously making inroads into the pedophile thing, the child trafficking?
I haven't seen anything related to that.
So here's the answer is no. Yeah, the answer is no. And here's what I'm waiting for. I think, and again, this is just my opinion, I think that Trump is building a kill box so he could do those disclosures, and he will have the support of the American people by the time it happens. And I think that this trickle of disclosures from USAID on the big stuff that they were laundering money to all these news agencies, basically what he's doing is he's telling, he and Elon are telling the world that, number one, the Democratic Party, because remember, they're going to keep this polarized, the Democratic Party was lying to you. They were using all these institutions to lie to you. They were paying these institutions to lie to you. They were paying all these actors to tell you that Camilla was the person they wanted, but they were all paid actors. And he's trying to build a storyline to show that everything that they were, you know, pushing on the public was a lie. And I think he's doing that for the simple reason that by the time he gets ready to do the disclosures, because remember, the Epstein list is on the docket right now. It's in the public eye. And Dick Durbin came out today and said, nope, we don't want to, I'm going to block him from releasing it. And then Elon posted something, and guess what? Not even 3 hours later, Dick Durbin's all about releasing the list, probably knowing he's full well he's on the list. But the point is, they're trying to, he's setting conditions to release the information so the American people will believe it. And he has the support of the American people to start rolling people up. Because remember, what's the narrative that he came to office with? He's going to put people in camps. They're going to roll people up. They're going to re-educate people. All the shit they were going to do, they were pushing that Trump was going to do. And so he's got to build, and he's got to show the American people, at least enough of the folks on the left, because there's a third there, he's never going to touch, right? But enough on the left to where they'll support what he's doing, because they'll see that this was criminality. And he hasn't even got to the pedophilia yet. I think that's, we're at least a few weeks away from that. Because the other thing he's doing at the same time, and you guys feel free to disagree with me, is he's building a kill box for the cartels, and he's setting conditions to throw China out of North America and South America. And he's doing that by cutting off the CIA funding, cutting off the FBI funding, cutting off support for the cartels, cutting off the logistics train for all of the IMO and all of the human trafficking, as well as the movement and invasion of the country, while at the same time setting conditions for economic warfare against everybody in Central and South America to stop the flow of humans into the country. And he's doing all that at the same time. So I at least that's how I see the situation. If you guys see it differently, I'm all ears.
Well, he definitely has a plan. I mean, things seem to have been managed reasonably well so far. And there's, you know, it's like anything where you're juggling a number of balls in the air at one time. There's going to be a little bit of friction. But, you know, it would be interesting to be on the inside and see what the timeline is on a lot of this stuff. Because you consider there's going to be lawsuits, there's going to be countermeasures, there's going to be responses and things like that. So he has a limited period of time to get things done. And perhaps most importantly, he's got limitations, because the next time, next election, midterm election, they're certainly going to steal back the House or the Senate.
Possibly.
I don't trust him. I don't trust him because I think he's still, just some of the statements he made about Gaza recently, and the fact that Kushner's already got property on the Mediterranean listed to be better than the Riviera. I don't, he's under full control of the black hats. I just don't trust him.
Well, he may be.
And a lot of the black hats are all these evil shits that we keep talking about. The infamous they, right? Chase the money far enough, it's they. They have everything. They are in every leadership position. They're in charge of every frickin' central bank. They are there. And so to ignore that fact that he's married into it, it is, you're just fooling yourself. I'm sorry.
But the only thing I'd say, I would have had the same exact opinion, Raul. But a couple days ago, I saw some pretty interesting discussions about, things written about the Gaza thing. And what I think we've seen from Trump do, what he's done over and over now so far since he's been in office, is he constantly pushes the, I guess you'd call it the Overton window of discussions. he's pushing the bubble out like he did it with Greenland, he did it with Panama, but and now he does it with Gaza. But look at what really the final ramifications have been. In Panama, the Panamanians said, hey, yeah, we'll work with you. You know, in Greenland, the Danish prime minister already told Trump, look, we'll let you increase military presence in Greenland. So he's pushed the Overton window, but he already achieved things that I think are probably what he was looking to achieve. And I think that that may be what he's doing with Gaza. It's like by throwing this out there, yes, his base is going, what the hell? America first. We don't want Gaza. But everybody else on the planet is having to react to him. And I think that a lot of it is him just driving the discussion window in the direction he wants it to go. But I do think your point's valid. I'm just saying that I think it's also some showmanship going on.
Oh, there's definitely showmanship. I mean, he's really good at that. My concern is that he's got all of us looking at the left hand and the right hand's about to do really nasty, crappy shit, you know, and he's going to get away with it. And
like what? Give an example.
Well, wait, hang on a second.
The whole Gaza thing.
Hang on a second.
The Gaza thing, the cryptocurrency, the chips in your head. I hate to say that's all Elon Musk shit, right?
Well, hang on a second, Ron, because look, I look at it in a similar way, only they are creating an administrative state in the back with a technocratic state, because Palantir's still there, Elon's still there, they're still pushing the social scoring system under a different name, Larry Ellis, Sam Altman, all those things are red flags, right? His statements about Gaza were completely irresponsible. And you're right, Kushner is out. That's why I hammered him last night. But I'm looking at the face value of where we are right now. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is we're headed for a second American revolution, whether we like it or not. It's coming. Whether it's this year or next year, it's coming. Because there's three things we're going to have to deal with. One, we're going to have to tear down the oligarch class. The oligarch class can't stay. They can't stay. We can't sustain that. They can't stay.
Agreed.
They are above the law. There's too many things wrong with that, right? We all know that's coming. The next piece of it is that we have to tear down the administrative state that's been put in place and built over the last 75, 80 years since the end of World War II that includes the military-industrial complex. And then the third thing we have to deal with is we have to deal with China, and then we have to deal with the COVID fallout. Right. So we have a number of things we have to deal with, probably all concurrently. But I look at it as I'm taking advantage of the pause and the reprieve right now, because this could have been a hell of a lot worse, a hell of a lot quicker. And even though I know that he's trying to turn, because I listened to all the conjecture about Gaza yesterday. Here's what I heard. He made a bunch of irresponsible statements. He got eviscerated in social media. And both he and Elon are paying attention to social media, and he got eviscerated. So he had to walk those comments back. And then he had to walk back his comments about Iran. And Iran's not stupid. They're not going to fall for the same bait and switch that they've fallen for before when it comes to Israel. And oh, by the way, here's the other part of that. Even though he says what he said about Gaza, good luck trying to implement that. Do you honestly think that anybody is going to go and vacation or buy a home on hollow ground where people were murdered by the thousands? That's hollow ground now. You can't undo that.
And I think the black hats will buy it. All the New York black hats are going to buy it.
Let them. They can go live in all their haunted mansions on the Mediterranean and live the dream in Gaza. And then we can build an open air prison around them. And treat them like dog shit for the next 70 years.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, but did Trump actually walk it back? Did he actually say, no, I rescind that comment? Or is he just quieted down and still going to push through with it?
His press secretary, which, by the way, that girl is, she is a spark plug. She's firing all the time. She came out and said he hasn't committed to troops on the ground. He's working with our international partners and with our regional partners to come up with a solution and rebuild Gaza. Okay, let's see how that goes. Because I can tell you that nobody wants Palestinians. And she also said they want to relocate them short term. Right.
They were talking about Ireland and some other places.
Of course they were talking about Ireland because they built all those migrant camps to take them. What a great place to put Hamas.
What about all our FEMA camps?
Well, I'm kind of surprised he hasn't said he wants to bring him here. And Raul, to your point, I don't disagree with you at all. I don't trust him either. And I'm cynical about everything he's doing for the very same reason. Because for me, the tell is going to be if he comes out with any of the information on the Mossad blackmail operations, then we'll know he's not owned by Israel. But I don't see him ever coming out with that because that's an act of war.
When did he get the golden pager gift? How many days ago was that? I think that's kind of interesting.
Golden pager gift.
Yeah. What is the symbology there?
The pagers that they blew up Hamas with, or Hezbollah.
We should do the cartels.
What? No. So the point being, right? Netanyahu gave Trump a plaque. You can Google it; it'll come up. It's a wooden plaque with a golden pager on it. What do you think that means? So I will be very surprised if this Epstein thing goes forward past a certain point. That's what I think that means.
I agree with you. Wholeheartedly agree with you.
And to Raul's point, I think that, 2030 or so, there's probably going to be some nice real estate being developed in the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, I agree too. I think that's coming too. Like I said, I think the second American Revolution is on the way, whether we like it or not.
There are some very distinct anti-Netanyahu factions within Israel. I'd be very curious if Trump has any emissaries in communication with any of them, because Bibi's got to go. And if he's sending like not so veiled threats to the president of the United States, I think that's crossing a line.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I don't think Trump's going to take it lying down, right? But it's interesting that he goes over there and says some stuff that we're like, WTF, man. And then BB's like, hey, here's a gift for you. I don't think that's a coincidence.
It's not a coincidence, right? Nothing that he does is a coincidence. And I think it's really interesting, too, that the day that they have the press conference with Netanyahu and Trump is the day they release the interview with Jared Kushner talking about if they would have spent all that money instead of the bombs and the tunnels and all the explosives, they could have spent that money to build resorts. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the most irresponsible thing I've ever heard. They lived in an open air prison. Every time they would build something to make their lives easier, even solar power, the Israelis would go in there and rip it down or blow it up.
And besides, the Palestinians are known for having so much, spare coin laying around, right?
Yeah, there's all that, plus the deep investment in an open-air prison with, 30-foot walls, 40-foot walls?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. So,
and a security system that knows when a mouse crosses the line?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah, the irresponsibility of that was just unbelievable.
The thing that occurred...
And what a lot of people don't know is that when you travel to Israel, there are hallways between the jet and your luggage where you are scanned head to toe and data is collected on you, everything from the type of sweat that you have to what you exhaust. They do facial recognition. They do all of that. And
somebody stapling stuff in the background or something?
No, they're eating pistachios, I think. It's not me.
Like regarding the Epstein stuff and just how far will they go? I think the thing is, like with this USAID thing is showing, is that Trump is going so far already that the things, the cans of worms he's opening up, I don't think he's going to be able to close them. I mean, the like you're saying, we're heading towards a second American Revolution, Steve. And I think that we're going there, and the Epstein stuff's going to come out, like it or not, because I think that the snowballs are already starting to snowball, basically. I mean, it may not come out willingly from the deep state or from Trump, but I think eventually it's not going to matter. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. But
yeah, well, that's kind of what I was thinking too. As far as what's interesting is, you know, we're opening a can of worms here with USAID, right? And essentially all the, you know, tinfoil hat people that were laughed out of the room a few years ago for saying the government's corrupt and, you know, the money goes in the front door and goes back around the back door and it buys you a congressman. Oh, surprise. That's all actually true. And, you know, talking about, you know, second and third order effects to this, you know, we had our original revolution, right, about basically not being represented and being forced to hand our money over. And I think most Americans, if you go out and you put it in simple terms of like, okay, well, the government's extorting almost half your income from you. And, you know, what are you getting for that? And, you know, most people are like, eh, yeah, you know, they waste a lot of money, whatever.
Celebrations in remote, you know, South America. I mean, it's
like, yeah, but I mean, carry that forward. And, you know, if we all find out that for the last 20 years, you know, they've been taking not just money out of our pocket every paycheck, but, you know, your parents die or whatever, and they take 60% of their assets or exactly, whatever, all the different taxes, right? And we find out that our own government has literally been using that money to, you know, assassinate leaders, to traffic children, to fund Epstein. I mean, like, just ugly stuff. I mean, that's not taxation without representation. That's extortion and theft. You know, I think how's that going to play out?
It's a definition of a RICO case. That's why Trump's exposing it, so they could do a RICO case on these guys.
Yeah, but I mean, go down the road a little bit, right? So, you know, 4 years from now, Trump's not in office anymore. Let's say our deep state friends come roaring back and decide that they're going to put their foot down. You know, what do you think is going to happen? That's my point.
You make a good point, but let me back us up. Let's go back to the strategic level. When you talk about the deep state in the United States, when you talk about the corruption built in the feedback loops for money laundering in Congress, getting kickbacks to the DNC, all that stuff, that's, you know, tactical level stuff when you're talking about the global elite. I'm talking about the 13 Venetian families. And the bottom line to all this to me is they're going to let Trump do things that don't affect that highest tier, because they don't care. They don't give a shit if funding streams for this organization or that organization are tied up. That's not affecting their day one way or another. What they're going to get upset about is if you see, and in fact, I would also go so far as to say, even if Trump wipes out you know, some of the families that run these cartels in Central and South America, they won't care, because those are just nouveau rich wetbacks to the 13 families. They really don't give a shit. What they care about is the major inroads into their financial stratas. And so what did we see? We saw the Treasury immediately, a barn door was closed in Trump's face in terms of access to that. And I'm willing to bet that if he tries to get rid of the Fed or do something really substantial on the scale that, you know, Kennedy or Lincoln did when they were, you know, when Lincoln introduced greenbacks and declared we weren't going to borrow from the international banks. If he does something like that, he'll be killed just like they were. And that's what I'm saying is, if we don't look at this on the grand strategic scale and think in those terms, nothing, then Trump's 4 years are going to be a minor setback. some esoteric things and some window dressing. But until you really change the dynamic of the familial landscape that runs this globe, we haven't achieved what we need to achieve. And there, yeah. Steve, is where I agree with you completely, because, you know, that's the thing that's going to drive an American revolution. But it's going to have to extend beyond our borders. It's going to have to go international, and it's going to have to be definitive. And once you start it, you can't stop until it's done.
Well, and that's kind of what I was getting at, right? Is this whole taxation thing, if you get the American public riled up enough about it, that is the debt cord that's going to light this thing off. Because capability-wise, there is the capability to wipe those families out, but there's not the will, because there's too few people that would even talk about it. But you get a public that is driving that kind of change, and things could go all kinds of interesting directions.
Well, Steve shared that video you shared earlier of the Black Democratic guy that was like a 3-minute video off of X that you shared earlier today, Steve. I thought that was an excellent, you know, synopsis of what we're talking about, in terms of he's basically like, I'm never going to ever vote Democrat again. They've been robbing us blind. I mean, I watched most of that earlier today, and I think like we're going to get this steamroll going, and there's not going to be any stopping it. I mean, look at how the French Revolution, I mean, this literally, the stuff we're finding out about the USAID, it pales. I mean, let me rephrase that. The American Revolution, the things that kicked off the French Revolution, pale in comparison to the fucking bullshit we're learning about with USAID. And it's only the tip of the iceberg, like Bracken showed with his iceberg meme, where he's like, you got the CIA black programs and the NSA and the DOD black stuff all below the, you know, the non-visible part of the iceberg, and USAID is just the tip on the top. And I think as more and more people realize, like, our entire country has been robbed blind. People are, you know, we got veterans homeless, committing suicide regularly. You know, the average person seeing their declining standard of living. I mean, we're literally setting up for like a French Revolution, if you ask me, and they'd be justified. People would be justified.
You're making
I'm ranting, but
Bruce, no, listen, you're making an excellent point, but let me draw the analogy a little tighter for you. The American Revolution didn't happen because a bunch of farmers got disgruntled. It didn't happen because people living in row houses in Philadelphia got disgruntled. That's not what kicked it off.
Right.
It was the landed gentry, the people who had made significant money importing or exporting, the people who were in major trade, major business, had major financial investments. Those were the people who helped fund and really generate the situation politically and otherwise. Those were the people who shaped the narrative. Those were the people who had the influence to get people talking in the town square, as Steve always talks about. They shaped the narrative. They had talking in churches and things like that.
I agree.
And it's going to take, but let me finish the analogy. The analogy I see, I'm asking myself, why is Elon Musk, a guy who has been doing things for the cheap state and basically got made a gazillionaire by them, suddenly helping Trump and doing this kind of stuff? Why is Peter Thiel, you know, doing what he's doing? Are we seeing the modern version of American elite, American nouveau rich, getting fed up and saying, okay, I guess we're not going to get the seat at the table that we expected, and now it's our turn to turn the gas up and light the fire, you know, heavier and heavier till people kick off?
And that was part of where I was going, is that, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic that they're doing the right thing, right? But the tell is still going to be whether they information about who was running Epstein. That's the tell. I don't care what else you look at or who else you look at. That's the tell. Because JP Morgan was laundering the money for him, and they were moving the money for him, and Jamie Dimon's been in the background, as well as the rest of them. And let's say all things being equal, and two things can be true at once, that Trump's fed up and realized he was never going to get a seat at the table. Peter Thiel, Elon Musk realized they were never going to get a seat at the table. Jamie Dimon realized he was never going to get a seat at the table. And by the way, he hates Larry Fink as much as I do. So let's assume that that's true. What would be the best way to implode the 13 families without having to go to war with them? Kill them financially. You take away their entire ability to shoot, move, and communicate financially. And you take away their ability to manipulate the US economy and the US taxpayers so that you can tell them in one stroke of a pen, we're done. And they have no recourse whatsoever. To me, USAID is a first domino in that, right? Because there's other funding mechanisms out there. Rao, you know what I'm talking about. There's other funding mechanisms that he hasn't gone after yet that he needs to go after. And when he does, we're going to see other skeletons, like where that $2.4 trillion from DOD went. I think that this lawfare they're using to try and stop him from Treasury is just a speed bump. I think he's going to go through all the agencies and figure out where the money went, figure out where they laundered it, and he's going to tell the American people. And I think he will be successful in getting rid of the IRS. But to your point, Dave, I don't think he's going to be successful getting rid of the Fed. I just don't see that happening. I mean, Luongo thinks that he's setting up to get rid of the Fed and go back to the Treasury, but they're already talking about a stable coin. They're already talking about a digital dollar. And all of that was not on the plate under Biden. It was on the docket, but it wasn't on the plate. And now it's on the plate.
I saw someone discussing the sovereign wealth fund idea. Is that the building an American sovereign wealth fund like what Norway has, that could eventually lay the groundwork to get rid of the Fed is what I read, and somebody was making that point.
I'm late to the show on the sovereign wealth fund. Could somebody catch me up on that? What's the bottom line there?
Earlier this week, one of his EOs that he was working on was, you know, he discussed the Bitcoin thing and he mentioned the idea of creating a sovereign wealth fund that basically would work like the sovereign wealth fund like that Norway has, for example. And the article or piece that I read that talked about it said that, you know, it could kind of undermine. I mean, we need Luongo to address this because I don't have the financial insights on it, but it would create a financial base that the Fed wouldn't be able to control or manipulate, or at least that's the idea. And so that would start to undermine the power of the Fed. Because there'd be
if you look at the Fed, right? The Fed was started in 1913. And it was started basically to cover commercial entities, large commercial entities, if there was a problem, and cover down on them. And so that we didn't go into a depression, which eventually happened, but that was a whole different ball of wax. And it was just supposed to be a slush fund and a set of bankers that would protect industry in the United States. World War I comes around and they decide, oh, we're going to use this to pay for the war. So now we're not funding commercial industry. We're not covering commercial industry. We're covering the government. And it just goes downhill from there. Now, the whole sovereign fund idea is that to cover all of America's debts, of which we have a lot of, we're going to let Americans and American industry be the investors of that. And instead of borrowing from the Fed, we're going to borrow from ourselves and anybody that wants to invest in it. So if any of the 17 families want to get in on it, well, then they got to play the game. They got to get in on it, which means they have to expose themselves. They're going to have to expose how they're going to invest. Any one of us is going to be able to throw money into it. Any corporation is going to be able to throw money into it. And then you get the interest of the government debt as a part of the investment class of that fund. Does that make sense, Dave?
Yeah, it's, and you know, speaking of that, it makes me wonder, you look at El Salvador, you've got Bukele down there. And he, it's funny because he's willing to take on some of our prisoners, some of our worst prisoners. But you got Bukele who declared that Bitcoin is sovereign down there and it's legal tender. And you look at the way that he's cleaned up that country and taken it from, you know, eons of corruption and you know, Marxist type dictatorship and tyranny. He's really cleaned out quite a bit of that government, corruption, and so on. And I have to wonder if Trump has taken a look at the success that he's had in the last couple of years, well, the last 4 years. I think Trump would be very well advised to look carefully at that. Granted, it's El Salvador. It's a small model. It's not like, you know, the world's going to come apart if there's a shakeup in their economy like it would with the American economy collapsing. But nonetheless, it's an interesting case study, right?
If you go on the whitehouse.gov website, there's a page where it talks all about the plan for a sovereign wealth fund, and basically that his EO was to calling for the creation of a sovereign wealth fund, and they have 90 days to come up with a plan for how it should work. That's what it says, basically.
Yeah, but I kind of like every other executive order that he's put out. I don't think it's going to take him 90 days to figure it out. These guys have been planning a lot of this stuff for 2 years.
Right.
So, you know, once people get into position, they're going to start with their marching orders to get things done so that they can present publicly to the American people what they've done. Now, if we're going to believe that they're going to get it done in 90 days, well, that's somebody's paying too much attention to football and drinking beer and not paying attention to reality. Oh, that sounded like a magazine. Someone's cleaning a weapon.
Yeah, not cleaning a weapon. That's downloading some AR-15 magazines into some Magpul magazines.
We've heard every round.
Nailed. You've been nailed.
Well, I can think of worse activities while we're doing the show. That's just one of them, so that's not bad.
You took my word nailed and applied it in a different way.
It fits with our genre of use your shit. I think that's quite appropriate. And by the way, I'm just taking in that I'm not the only one with bitterness and cynicism tonight, which is fantastic, because it's usually just me on a rant. But Rao, you're hitting the guardrails right now. It's fantastic. So, okay. So
I've torqued at a bunch of stuff right now, and it's just there's something that's under my skin, and it just bothers the heck out of me. And you keep saying it's the tell, and I agree, it's the tell. But I think the biggest tell is I'm waiting for the perp walk. I'm waiting for all these corrupt idiots, you know, that think they're protected and that they can do anything and they can boff the American people, you know. And I was running the numbers. I ran the numbers. 3 years of USAID. If you take 3 years of USAID and just bring it back home and divide it up amongst 330 million Americans, every American would be a millionaire. Every American.
Yeah.
That's how much they have stolen from us.
That's why I'm saying French Revolution.
Well,
and
when
so,
people realize
and so
that.
It goes back to, you know, I saw an article that said, oh, hey, hoo-ah, we got the Venezuelan gangs out of Aurora. We arrested them. Arrested? Bullshit. They should have shot them and hung them from the second story, taken pictures of it, put it on the news across everywhere else with a big freaking white banner underneath it that says, you're next. We have to be serious about this.
100%.
Oh, we arrested them. Oh, wonderful. So now they're going to get a defense attorney, and half these assholes are going to walk.
They all got tipped off. It was just on Fox News earlier that they all got tipped off that when they did the raid, there was no one there.
Yeah, they only got like 9 to 15 people or something like that. They were going for like 150.
Now I really want I want to really lock and load.
So to go back to the other point, if those that control the information don't bother to tell, you know, the people that are too busy drinking beer and watching football that they, you know, they would be a millionaire right now if the government didn't steal everything from them, nobody's going to get upset, right? So the tell is whether or not that information starts to be put in front of, you know, your average person that's not paying attention.
Well, you know, go back to literally the day before 9/11. On 9/10, you got the SecDef that stands up at the podium and explains rather sheepishly that, oh, by the way, you know, we're looking through the books and we've got $2 trillion the DOD cannot account for. Everybody forgot that because 9/11 happened the next day. But seriously.
Oh, no, we didn't forget, Dave. People didn't forget. By the way, I just put the patches up that we should have for this occasion.
Specifically
for the Venezuelan gangs. I think we should issue it to all the cops. So we should.
Yeah. And we need to tell them. Look, yeah, and it doesn't make any difference what the story is. You do not arrest them. You kill them on site. They are not citizens. No fucking rights in our country.
Let's take a step back. Because
they're a distraction.
Who's
responsible? I think it's, why are they here? I don't care about the infantrymen. I care about the general, right?
Yeah. I was just gonna go there, Seth. That's exactly where I was going. Because look, we got to figure out who brought them in and why they're in Colorado. And then we need to take them out and put them on trial. And it's easy to deal with the gangs. Round them up, put on a plane, send them home. Send them back to Venezuela and drop them off with their shorts on. Call it good, right? Yeah,
with their shorts on. You open the back gate, you know, and you push them out the back.
Well, I know we could do high.
They should all be lawn darts
too. I don't disagree with that, but look, there's more bang for the buck just getting rid of them right now because we got other actors here that are way more dangerous than those punks, right? We got Chinese regulars here. We got Iranian special forces here. We've every concatenation of crazy in the country right now. I'd rather get rid of the gangs just by putting them on a plane and save the firepower for the hardcore, you know, terrorist cells that have been brought in by the CIA. That's
Somalis in Congress on committees. You want to talk about dangerous?
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
That's a whole different conversation. Why Ilhan Omar is still walking the streets and not in prison is
That's the point. So, I mean, who are the people that have held the border open for the last 4 years? Like, they don't get a pass. Let's find out who they are, who the decision makers are that held those gates open, and let's go after them. They need to be prosecuted. And hopefully USAID will help point the way to who was bought and paid for. But that's who's responsible. I don't care about the Venezuelans. Like, whatever.
Well, and didn't who was it that proved that the money is from USAID is going out, it's coming back around, it goes through about three or four front countries, it turns corners, and the next thing you know, it's in Mitch McConnell's, you know, slush fund power chest to destroy people he doesn't like. I mean, if we put that in front of the American people and then we hang the son of a bitch, people will get the point. This is not permitted.
That's exactly the point, right? I mean, that's the whole like Boston Tea Party thing. When are people going to be upset enough?
It's not just the Boston Tea Party. It's the French guillotine story. We've had enough. Off with his head.
French Revolution.
Yeah, well, there's a difference though, right? So the American solution maintained a level of order and justice. The French Revolution, we kind of, you know, started getting happy with the bloodletting. Once you open that door, it's hard to close.
Yeah, that's the slippery slope, right? Once you start down that path, you have to have a definitive end state. And look, don't get us wrong, Raul. I would love to see Mitch McConnell. I'd love to see that son of a bitch hang along with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, but they're 80. They're 80. They're gonna Mitch can't even walk up a flight of stairs. I mean, he fell again. True. I mean, for fuck's sake, we don't need to hang the son of a bitch. Just send him down a long flight of stairs and let him go.
Well, that's true. He'd probably die of a heart attack if we actually did the perp walk on him.
That's right.
He wouldn't make it to the airplane to get home.
but your point's valid, right? You only have to swing one of them for the rest of them to get the message. And maybe that's
exactly
the plan, right? Maybe that's the plan. The plan is to just, you know, try Obama, hang Obama, but I'm sorry. It's got to be Obama, Brennan, Clapper, Hayden, and all the rest of the malcontents, Eric Holder, Susan Rice, and for God's sakes, somebody arrest Victoria Nuland. My God.
Talk about
a fucking treasonous bitch. My God. Somebody arrest her already.
No, she's a witch. She should be burned at the stake. There's a difference.
Millie.
She's just evil.
And
evil
Vindman. You got to get the Vindman brothers.
The Vindman brothers should be at the base of the fire. Yeah, they're the cordwood. We'll use the grease from them to set Nuland on fire.
By the way, to answer a question from Azak Vet, the answer to the question on what I was loading is all copper bullet, 300 blackout, 125 grain coming out at about 2350 or 2400 feet per second. So pretty similar to an HK, but with much better terminal ballistics because the all copper bullet. There you go, pal. And by the way, I think much more effective close in than an AR round that basically punches little holes in people.
So speaking of messaging, right? Let's talk about the cartels for a minute, because I've seen some interesting stuff floating around, talking, speculating about what Trump's going to do with that. And I think what a lot of the social media analysis is missing is they're looking at it through a soda straw. So you've got, you know, former team guys or this specialty or that specialty or, you know, YouTube general, whatever. But I think what they're missing is declaring the cartels a military threat, a terrorist organization, allows the full weight of operational planning to be put in place. And following, you know, Monkey Works and some of these other folks, every once in a while, a blind squirrel will find a nut, right? And so they've been talking about RJs and other ISR assets moving around in South America. And to me, that says they're starting IPOE. And if we go down that road, you don't have to put teams on the ground. You fly some stealth assets in. That country doesn't even know they're necessarily even going to be there until the bombs start hitting the ground and wipe out some serious real estate and assets. I mean, people are like, oh, they have technicals, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we have a lot of bombs. So if Trump actually goes to authorize a scorched earth, like military operation, like when we first went into Iraq or Afghanistan, that sends a certain message, right? And I think things will be, I don't think they're going to come back fighting if that happens. I could be wrong, but.
No, you make a good point. You don't want to get in a tactical level gunfight with these people. That's just a waste of useless resources in our special ops community. I mean, unless you want them to have a good, you know, training exercise. But, you know, go back to Tom Clancy's novels with the 2,000-pound JDAMs put right on top of cartel family's house when everybody's visiting for the holiday. I think that sends a fairly definitive message.
Or you fly 1,000 sorties a night and bomb all the houses. And I mean, that kind of does the same thing too.
Well, we've wasted over 400 ATACMs in Ukraine. Those 400 should be used to wipe the earth clean of all of the cartels. And then we get to buy new ones with new upgraded, you know, munitions and propellant and TNT. And
I agree with your general thing, Raul, but I don't think that shock and awe rain from above is going to be the way to win Mexico. I mean, to beat the cartels, I think we're going to have laser precision, pinpoint accuracy. And the last thing we want to do is unite Mexicans and Hispanics against us. Then we will have a civil war, race war going on where they split the country. To me, what Trump...
Bruce, I'm an artilleryman.
Well, hold on.
I used to plan ATACMs.
I got another point.
They're not like, you know, I'm going to aim at, you know, the state of Chihuahua and hopefully I'll hit something.
I agree with you.
These bastards come right down your frickin' toilet.
I believe.
And take out your fucking house and your neighbor survives.
But there'll still be collateral damage. I think the challenge for Trump is he's got to do this in a way that does not somehow unite Latinos against Trump. That would be the wrong plan. He's got to maintain, I think the best thing is something that preserves the image of the cartels as terrorist organizations, that allows him to unify all Americans against the cartels because of their threat of terrorism. That's where we have to keep them. We have to keep them in that box of they're totally evil. The last thing we want to do is give them any kind of ammunition that makes us look like terrorists to them. That's my two cents anyway.
You got to control the narrative. You're exactly right. And it's, you know, the propaganda either way is still messaging is messaging. And you want to be shaping the space with information operations, just like any other campaign.
Yeah.
By the way, Steve, I wanted to ask you, I couldn't remember, what was the name of the historian that I can't remember who interviewed him, whether it was Mike or somebody else, that was talking about rewriting the history of World War II and how it actually happened.
Daryl
Cooper?
Cooper, yeah.
Martyrmaid. That's his podcast.
Yeah, Martyrmaid. I was looking it up. Yeah, what he's talking about is the religion of the state, right? What's the religious belief system of the state? And I want to stay with the cartels for a second, then I'll go back to that. So, Raul, I think to your point, I think Trump's already struck a major blow to the cartels by taking away USAID, by taking away the funding sites that used to create some of the cartels, the CIA used to create some of the cartels. I think he's dealt them a blow.
Do you not think that they're going to fight back and they're going to fight back kinetically?
I think they will.
Problem on our hands.
I think Matt's correct. We're going to have a dirty war on our hands, and I think they're going to act out mainly at the border. But
Though
these dirty people are all through our country. They're in every major city.
I know they are. I was getting to that, and I think they're going to act out at the border, and I think they're going to create chaos in major cities, and I think that's not that far away. But that will be the catalyst to unite the American public, right? And
exactly.
I don't think Trump's planning for it, but I think Trump's expecting it. Those are two different things, right? Planning, expecting.
And so I'm going to play devil's advocate to that. I think there's two pieces to that. One is, if he actually is building a target deck for a shock and awe campaign, they're going to know and they're not suicidal. And secondly, if the Chinese are afraid that we're going to reach through the cartels and back to their throat over it, i.e. the U.S. population is united, they're going to pull the leash on the cartels. So I would say I'm not saying that's going to happen, but those are two things that I think are being overlooked by a lot of the people online talking about cartels.
I don't disagree with
that. You don't need to take out the cartels. You just need to recognize who set them up, who facilitates them.
Yes.
And who runs, who runs the networks of transport into our country.
Yes.
We could shut the border down anytime we wanted to, if we were our assets of surveillance and stuff like that, and our Navy and everything else. We could do that.
Well, not just that. I mean, we could have mobilized the 4th Infantry Division and 1st Cavalry Division, and boom, border shut, done. Nobody did it. Nobody had the backbone to call our military and say, hey, come home. You're not doing overseas shit anymore. We got a border crisis. Fix it. I'm still waiting for that order.
I've been hearing things saying that he is pulling troops back to the U.S.
I just he is. 20,000.
Yeah, he's doing, I mean, we are posturing for a major military operation. That's yeah. what I'm saying. He's not fucking around.
No, I think he is going to close the border. Like I said, he's right now he's shaping the battlefield. He's taken away the funding sources. He's taken away the CIA's ability to provide them intelligence. He's taken away the CIA's ability to influence the cartels and move people around. He's taken away the left's ability to create chaos in the cities. He's taken away all of the propaganda and the outlets, the propaganda that the left used. He's setting conditions for a major action. And I think it's just a matter of time before he does it. And if he's waiting for the troops to get back, get repatriated, and the equipment to come back, okay, he started that, 10 days ago? So that's 2-3 months. That's right in line with where shaping operations would take you. So
yeah, and there's another piece too, right? So if Antifa and the other arms of the political enemies of Trump are going to operationalize, it's going to be in the spring when the weather starts to warm up, right?
Yeah.
And so if we're in a similar timeline, you'd want to plan in for that as well and be able to shift opinion and shift assets very quickly to deal with other threats. And so, you know, if the cartel is taking hits and all of a sudden things pop up in the U.S. and you have, operational capability to target terrorists, I mean, one terrorist looks a lot like the other, just saying.
So if we look at the information war and strategic messaging, it would almost be to his benefit to garner American support to wipe out the cartels and their whoever their hidden heads are by letting them attack inside the U.S. and go kinetic first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but I think,
you know, cynically, don't forget the 9/11 aspect to this either, right? I mean, you scare people, yeah. they'll let you vote anything in.
Well, that's true too. Hence the Patriot Act.
Yeah, the interesting part of this though is that I really think he's trying to do as much of this peacefully as he possibly can. I really think he wants to avoid as much kinetic as possible. At least that's what his actions look like.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, credit where credit is due. And right now it looks like he is teeing up to send a clear message. And I mean, you send that message, the cartels would rather, you know, sit down for a couple of years. They have money, right? So they will absolutely curtail operations, be more quiet, settle down. They're not going to stop doing what they do. But that would absolutely go away during his presidency because they'd much rather, simmer down a bit and ride it out until the next presidency than be obliterated. And I mean, if you're staring down the barrel of the U.S. military, they're not stupid. And if they are stupid, they're going to learn that lesson really quickly. We saw that with the Taliban, right? Well, all the stupid ones die in the first week. It's the other ones that you have to root out.
Right, right. And that's my concern. My concern is okay, so we do all this great, wonderful stuff now. What happens in 4 years when they want to take it all back in the other direction? If we don't eliminate all the cancer now, who's going to fight this? 10 years from now. Well, or 5 years from now. When whoever gets in is pushing for the 2030 agenda, right? And we've already blown our wad.
I think that's the challenge that we all face.
Aging out.
Yeah. Well, I think Colonel Conrad is absolutely right. And right from my perspective, I mean, if you let's assume good intent from the Trump administration, if you light the fuse and flip over the cart for taxation and have a controlled revolution where the public realizes that they've been screwed over by the people pulling the levers of power in our own government and then overseas, then you go clean house. So the question is whether or not that's going to happen.
I think I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I hear all that. But the problem we have to solve that's even more important than the IRS is the underground stuff with children, the stuff these people have been doing for decades.
We have you were going to say that. Aliens.
No, we have to stop the human trafficking and the child trafficking. People don't realize what a big problem that is. That the underlying thing in all of this shit, all of it, is that the elite are addicted to children. They are addicted to them. We went from 20 to 40,000 kids a year disappearing to 400,000 overnight in 2020. And that is the catalyst, the underground currency, the underground economy that needs to be eradicated before even the IRS. Yeah, everybody's been fucked over by the IRS. Everybody's been fucked over by the elite. Everybody's been lied to. But until we deal with that problem and we get rid of all the fucking pedophiles, this shit is going to continue in a different format. They will find some other way to tax the working class, the middle class, to pay for their addiction to children. That funds all of the economies.
And that's all of Hollywood and all of the black hats and all the elites. Okay, how are you going to do that?
I can tell you how I would do it.
Yeah, well, that's the tell, right? So, I mean, are we going to see the USAID pulled out all the way? Are we going to pull the thread and everybody's going to see it? Or are they going to just, you know, cut it off and dangle it and pretend that it doesn't lead anywhere? That's the question.
Right, and that's why I say it's the tell, because for Trump to pull on that thread means it's going to get to Israel. It's going to get to Mossad. It's going to get to the CIA. How do you do that? Lead it all the way back to Israel without starting a war. And because I could tell you, when the American people find out that Israel's been funding this, Israel was behind Jeffrey Epstein. Israel was behind Diddy.
Yep.
Israel was behind all this. They're going to want fucking blood.
Major executives of 9/11.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the fact that Mossad and CIA in 90% is one and the same.
So you ask how to do it.
The first thing that has to go away, if we're going to play this hand, what has to go away tomorrow is the CIA. Lock, stock, and barrel. Go away. We're going to build a new organization. It's going to be different. It ain't you. You're gone.
Raul, who do they work for? Who's the CIA work for?
President. It's the president's personal army.
No. It's not who they work for. It's not who set them up. It was never the intent of their mission from their very foundation. Okay? They were to serve the global elitists and those families. Everything we're talking about circles around one thing, the center of gravity, and it's those 13 families. If you start and end with that, you eliminate the cartels because they're the ones who really run the drug trade and drive all of that. They run all of the international crime syndicates. They run big pharma. Name any singular evil. You talk about trafficking children, they're it. Name any of these singular evils, you can trace them all back to one central entity, and that's those 13 families. That's it. That's where this has to go. And when Steve talks about a revolution, that's what I think about in terms of actually achieving something. That would be...
So how do we do that?
That would be the...
To me, that's...
That would be the tipping point in world history.
World history. Yeah. I believe if you do that, large wars would end. It would just be little local regional conflicts. I think that people across the globe would live better. I think everybody would be wealthier. I think our health would improve. I don't know.
Well, if you take out the 13.
How do you get rid of that?
Yeah. Well, you know how you get rid of it. You know how you.
No, I don't. That's where I reached the frustration level, right?
You have to eradicate the bloodline. Come on, let's call a spade a spade. That's what you're talking about. Eradicate the bloodlines.
Yeah. That's why you don't let the slaves be armed.
That's right.
Yeah.
You have to eradicate the bloodlines. That's calling it a spade. Right, but who's got the balls to do that? I don't see this, like, to your point, Dave. I don't see this going that direction,
because
I don't see this ever getting to Israel, and that's where it needs to go, because that leads you all the way up. Right, you hit Mossad, and then the question is, who's paying for them? Who's giving them orders? And then you go down the rabbit hole, and it leads all the way back to Rome, the city of London, and it leads back to, you know, some of the East Coast institutional money. But nobody's got the stones to go and eradicate these people. Even though, let's call a spade a spade, if these 13 families are really running the world, then they got to go. Full stop, they got to go. I mean,
somebody raised the question, where do they live? And okay, they live all over the planet. They have enormous tentacles, and they've got fallback position. I mean, they've got properties literally on every continent. That's not the question. You have to have complete pattern of life, complete targeting package. It's just like breaking down an enemy. The capabilities are one thing, but line and block, what's the term I'm thinking of? Yeah, well, line and block, but link. The link diagram charts we used to do.
Yeah, find, fix, and
yeah. I mean, you've got to identify every facet of what they're doing. Most, you know, and people can name some of these families, but they don't realize, in the United States, what's the supreme family that gives people like the Rockefellers their marching orders? Well, it's the Springers, whose name was changed. It goes all the way back to the 2-year-old son rescued from the French prisons, the Bastille, after the French Revolution, and that's the Pessoa family. You have to identify and land with everything you've got on those people in the United States. That would be the start of the House of Cards falling, in my opinion. But it has to be an international effort. You have to be in close coordination with the Europeans. And this goes back to the thing we talked about with messaging. This has to be a global effort to rid the world of this evil.
Which means you have to out them all.
Yeah.
I mean, the world. So one of the good things, and this is for you, Colonel Johnson.
Listening.
One of the positive things that came out of the Q movement, even though there was a lot of bullshit, is there was a lot of people inside of that movement that spent an enormous amount of time tracking down who these people are, tracking down the names of the key members of these families. There are literally charts out there from 5 and 6 years ago that people had done all of the relationship mapping for all these families. So I know it exists. I know it's out there. So question is, you know, do we do we get enough momentum to do that? Because you're right, Dave. If we start a second American Revolution, this time we take it all the way to the end of the line. No matter how long it takes, we take it all the way to the end of the line.
Well, and you have to think about that historically, right? So we won at Yorktown, but you know, the Brits did not give up on it. They came back, and the War of 1812 was, they seriously thought that they could bankrupt us, drive us to our knees, and pray to come back as colonists. And it didn't freaking work. That if you don't wipe them, if you don't go back and trace it all the way to the source and wipe it out, the cancer will return. So I don't think you can do one or two families. I think there's got to be, you know, there's got to be a night where they're all gone. It's an international thing. And one night we wake up and it's Friday the 13th, just like Prince Philip did, or King Philip, right, against the Templars. We're just going to take them all out all at once. Done. And it's not just the people. You have to take full control of every stinking asset.
I agree with what Steve was saying. In our current situation, we're not going there. But I think we have to look at the situation that we might be facing in a year or two.
Or, and
I think if we get to it, it's like you start with, you know, like you said earlier, Steve, you're building the kill box and you start eliminating adversaries. And first you take out the cartels and you deal with that. And then you gradually, you know, turn the ship towards the enemy that's behind the scenes. But I still think that what'll happen, and we've already seen evidence of it, is, you know, some of the things I've read on Twitter this week are indications of people just truly waking up. And I, like I said, I think it gathers momentum and it's going to gain enough momentum that at some point it's going to run out of the control of even Trump. And, you know, and that's where we end up going down this path.
You know, Bruce, one of the things, it's an interesting point you bring up, because one of the things I noticed that really caught my eye was when one of the officials during the LA fire situation was going on, he talked about the extinction agenda, the depopulation agenda, and how that was in their discussions about what was going on. And I thought, I can't believe they're actually talking about that stuff, and that they were making it, you know, part of the public statement in that emergency.
Why are you surprised? These are the same shitbags that are annexing all the land now, and they're going to make low-income housing.
They're rats, right? They're trying to play both sides of the fence so they don't end up with the villagers coming for them with the torches.
That's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
Look, if I was at Palisades and I lost my house and I didn't have insurance and I still had to pay my fucking mortgage, and Newsom came out and announced that he was going to annex my land and I still had to pay my mortgage, fuck, all bets are off. Bottle of whiskey and a 45, go take care of business. But what do you think those people are going to do?
Right.
I mean, they just got bent over by the insurance companies. And now they're getting screwed by the state. You honestly think that somebody's not going to go off the reservation here? That's exactly what they're trying to do. Drive somebody off the reservation. I mean, talk about burning the bridge you're standing on. That was probably the quintessential example of that. And the part about the whole climate cult that gets under my skin is that they've created a religion to where it's a religion for people, and there's extremists. And the question becomes, at what point does that clash? Because that's going to clash in California at some point. And I'm not even going to get started on Washington State and what they're doing right now. They're passing laws that basically strip parents of all their rights and give teachers and administrators rights for their kids. Yeah, that's going to play out well for them. I think I think two things are going to happen. Well, let me say it a different way. If some of the predictions are right, because there's a lot of people in social media that are talking about releasing technology this year, and like hidden technology. If they release technology and that technology revolutionizes the planet, those 13 families will not have control anymore. They will de facto, like a battleship, be obsolete, because the system of control that they've relied on for hundreds of years will evaporate overnight. Once you change the technology base that we all live under, all of their power systems go away. But that doesn't solve the problem, to Raoul's point. That doesn't solve the problem. They still have to go, because you can't leave an underground economy, you know, thriving even with the new technology. They have to be dealt with at some point. And then there has to be disclosure to the public of what was really going on. Because the stuff that we're not talking about is the stuff that's the most evil. Like having babies make babies, you know, kids as young as 10 and 12 having kids. That's how sick these people are. That's why I say that's the economy that has to be eradicated before you can deal with the real economy. And that economy rules everything.
And holding kids hostage and putting them under high stress so you can draw the adrenochrome out of their blood. I mean, it's... dive into it. It gets so deep and dark and ugly. It's hard to even sleep.
Yeah, and what's funny is it's every day there's more information coming out about the fact that it's all real. And what I find very, very interesting, because this is the other thing too. The thing that I find the most interesting about it is that the conversation's leading more and more away from Epstein and Diddy to who's funding them, who put them in place. These guys didn't operate by themselves. So I want to see the evolution of that conversation. And that's going to be what I think, because let's tie it back to Trump. Let's say Trump, for whatever reason, realizes he has to deal with that. The best way to deal with that is disclosure. And if he builds a source of truth where he shows the American public he's trying to do the right thing, he shows the rest of the world he's trying to do the right thing, he's releasing information, he's releasing, you know, declassifying stuff, he has a source of truth, e.g. right now it's Twitter, but he has another source of truth, like Truth Social, guess what? Once he gets to the place where he can disclose that and he doesn't have any censorship, which is why he's on Truth Social, there's no censorship on Truth Social. But right now, the platform can't handle the same level of engagement that Twitter can handle. Until you can have the right amount of engagement on Twitter and social and True Social at the same time, he can't do those big releases. But imagine when he gets that capability, because I know they're building it right now. Then, more than anything else, he'll have a platform that nobody can censor, can shut down, can lawfare, and he can release whatever he wants to release. And it will spread like fucking wildfire. That's what I'm waiting for. Because I think he's going to do some of it. Because I know he hates Obama more than Biden hates Obama. And I know everybody around Obama is just as concerned as Obama is, and they should be. But here's what I want to know. I want to know who was the person that created Obama. Who created him? Who financed him? Who trained him? Who put him in office? Because look, everybody in D.C. knew it in 2008. Everyone knew it, that he was the Manchurian candidate. Everyone. So I want to know who's behind that motherfucker, because that's going to lead back to the 13 families too. So there's a lot. I think there's a lot of information that's going to come out. And look, all of it leads back to the same place. It all leads back to this underground economy. But I'm cautiously optimistic that some of this stuff's going to go in the right direction. But I'm cynical at the same time. I know it's an oxymoron, but it is what it is. I'm allowed to have my double standards, damn it. I don't like that awkward pause, gents.
I think Obama was one of a long line of people ginned up by the talent search team for the left. I think there's nothing new about that. It goes, you know, you look back at, you know, Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was identified and groomed eons ago. You look back, Jimmy Carter was identified for stuff he was doing with trade agreements in Asia. And the globalists liked that because they wanted to facilitate, you know, things like NAFTA and some of these other trade organizations. There's no coincidences. These people, they identify, they recruit, they indoctrinate, and they look for talent. They look for people who have a good, can put a good face on something and speak with great emotive effect.
I think that there's still unforeseen things that are going to come down the road that are going to alter the landscape.
Bruce, hang on one second. Ralph, you got to bounce. You want to do some final comments before you bounce?
I think I'm going to stick with what I keep saying, and that is I don't trust him. I don't trust who he's associated with. I'm just going to sit back and watch. In the meantime, I'm keeping my powder dry and I'm building up my ammo. I'm building up my networks here around me. I'm taking care of my family. And I'm just being ready.
I'm about to say, Bruce, go ahead. Finish your talk.
Go ahead, real quick. There's a movie going around called 22. It's about the whole school system and the problem with the school system. When it comes around, I'm asking everybody, when this thing comes around to your neighborhood, you need to go watch it for two reasons. Number one, you really need to see what they've documented. And number two, you need to meet the people who are showing up to this movie. These are going to be allies in the camp. And you need to meet them. And you need to start your network if you haven't already done so. With that, I'll catch you gentlemen later.
Hey, Ralph. Seth, you want to close comments where you have to bounce to, and we'll wrap it up.
Sure. So, I think it, you know, credit to Trump where credit is due. So at this point, it looks like I saw a meme earlier that there's like a water spigot and a dam, right? And somebody says, you know, what I thought Trump was going to do when he came into office, and they've got the water spigot, and what Trump is doing, and they've got the spillways open on the dam. And I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, he came in with this war plan. I mean, it's obvious he has a plan and he's executing on that. And I think we're seeing the, you know, opening salvo of an offensive operation from his side. And it remains to be seen how the war is going to play out, but this is the beginning of the battle and the enemy does get a vote. And so I think Raul is absolutely right in that, you know, we're going to see some things here in the near future, a counteraction to what Trump is doing. And whether that is, you know, whatever you want to believe, whether it's Chinese regulars in the country, Antifa, illegals, you know, crazy leftists, whatever, it doesn't matter. If you're on the other end of the range and they're shooting in your direction, you better be prepared for it. So I happen to think that as soon as the weather warms up, we're going to start to see that happening. And if you look around the country, they are also mobilizing and preparing. So our military might be out there doing their thing for cartel operations, but the counter forces are organizing, and that is obvious if you're paying attention. So get prepared for it.
Dave?
Well, you know, Steve, one of the things you talk about is you always say you don't react to the first reports, because that's premature, and things often change radically. I think we're in that phase right now. We've only had Trump in there for a few weeks. I think he's doing some remarkable things, and I applaud him for that. I still think that there's a line that's been drawn and probably identified, if not to him, to key players, as if to say, if you cross this line, your family is going to be the Kennedy family of the 21st century. And so I think he'll be given enough room to run that he can get some things done that will be, you know, in the long run, viewed by those 13 families as some setbacks. But by the same token, their ultimate battle is easier if our generation ages out. If they, like we said a year ago, if they would have waited, 10 more years, you would have lost the last generation of Americans who really know what right looks like and what the good old days were all about. It's difficult when you sit down with some of the young people who culturally and historically don't have a greater appreciation for, you know, the foundational ideas of the United States of America. And so, you know, given that we are in that opening, what we used to call deep attack, the opening shots being fired, I'm going to sit back and watch, like Raul said, be prepared, but at the same time, sit back and watch. I think, you know, Seth or somebody brought up some good points that there are multiple options that can be rallied against us. We've talked about those. We've talked about the number of people that have infiltrated our borders, not just cartels, not just criminals, but, trained military types, special operation teams from a variety of countries and so on. How this plays out ultimately is going to come down to one thing: where the money goes, how the money flows, and is Trump willing to cross that line and threaten the monetary funding that drives the deep state in a way that Kennedy did with his obscure dictum before he was assassinated, or Abraham Lincoln did when he was assassinated. It's interesting to me, I should add, and I don't mean to ramble, but you look historically, Trump has made numerous references to McKinley. And I kind of wonder, much like the left, who they can't help themselves by giving away certain things, if Trump doesn't drop some clues about what he's thinking about or where he's going with things. McKinley was a guy who had certain economic and trade beliefs. I think Trump is piggybacking on some of those ideas. But he was also, just like Lincoln and Kennedy, assassinated. So I pray every day that the focal point of this turning in America survives, and that we can all see a brighter day and achieve ultimate victory. But the fight against evil never ends, and vigilance remains the watchword. Amen.
Bruce?
I was just going to echo what I was going to say before was kind of some of the things Seth said and Dave just said. I guess I see that, you know, this is a couple things occur to me. It's opening salvos, you know, for this expanding war that's moving past the information war stage now into actual, you know, real concrete things happening. And I think we're going to see events happen that are going to, you know, they're going to potentially destabilize our, you know, efforts or Trump's efforts. I also think that, you know, one big one that I think we could have spent some time talking about is financial, the side of things. I mean, I can't tell you how many things I've seen that are pointing to some type of big financial crisis happening at the end of this month and sometime in the latter half of February. And I think that's probably their, you know, when we're talking about the people we're against, these 13 families, the globalists, Zionists, whatever you want to call them, that's the biggest power play they've got besides, you know, worldwide pandemic or something like that. And I think that imagine how hard it will be for Trump or for us if they cause some type of financial collapse to happen. I mean, that would, you know, that's a big threat for all of us, for all Americans. And then the other thing I think is that I also kind of believe, you know, I like Seth said, I'm still giving Trump the benefit of the doubt. I don't trust him completely. But if I was him, I'd also be thinking like, if we create the right conditions, the American people are going to eventually fix this. And he may be thinking like, look, if I can just get the wagon rolling down the hill and break the coefficient of friction, this starts gathering, like I said before, snowballing effect. And then things will eventually get out of control for even him. And I think that may be part of his planning. I mean, what if that's part of his planning? What if that is what he's really thinking? Because, yeah, the amount of things we have to overcome to win our country back, to get back to the kind of country that we grew up in as kids, that hopefully at least what we saw, not the negative side of things, is going to take a whole lot of effort. And so anyway, I'm saying you got to start somewhere. And if I'm in Trump's shoes, I'm saying I'm getting that wagon rolling down the hill, and I'm hoping that the rest of the people are going to rally to help make it happen. So based on all that, I think that there's a lot, you know, increasing chaos to come. And we all, you know, look at this respite that we have right now as a time to keep preparing, keep building networks, everything else we've talked about ad nauseum a million times. And just be ready for change. And then the other thing is that people got to be ready to stand up. You know, Trump's getting that wagon rolling. We need people to be ready to push, you know, to help push the wagon, keep it moving. And you know, it's a challenge for all of us to get off out of our comfort zones and actually start doing things ourselves, you know, little things that can make a difference, you know, at your school level, at your local level. All those kind of things are the things that are going to help keep the wagon rolling. So that's my two cents.
And with that, we will call it a night. Appreciate you guys jumping on. I think it was a good discussion tonight. We have tons more to talk about. I'll leave this with the audience. Somebody asked me about t-shirts, shirts, hats, sweatshirts, cups, blah, blah, blah. It's in the description, where to find us in the description. If you like what we're doing, hit the follow button. You can find me on Telegram or Telegram. You can find me on Twitter most of the time and Truth Social. That's where I post the most. I'll be back on Monday with a situation report. Unless something major happens, we'll do ad hoc roundtables. Till then, God bless everyone. One team, one fight.
Hoorah.
Hoorah.